We thank you, Father, because you're worthy to be praised. We glorify your name, King of Kings. We glorify your name, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, because of your care. Thank you for your hand upon our lives. Thank you for the unity of the Trinity. Thank you for the indwelling presence of the Lord. Father, we bless your name for your righteousness. We thank you, King of Glory, because you reign forever. Father, we adore your name, lifting up our holy hands. Thank you for giving us power over every challenge. Thank you for making us victorious at all times. Father, we bless your name for the open heaven over our lives. We give you all the glory. We thank you that, Father, we can come into your presence at every time. And Father, we can place our requests before you. Thank you because we have your ears. Thank you because you can hear us. Father, we have not come to man, but we've come to the immortal, the invisible, the eternal God, the one that cannot be seen with the eyes of men, but is everywhere at the same time. We hallow your presence in this house. We thank you, King of Glory. We thank you because you are the Savior of the world. We bless your name because you are the Prince of Peace. You are our peace. The peace that the world cannot offer, you have given it to us. You are our joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You are our confidence. You are our assurance. Lord, we bless your name because we do not lean on our own understanding, but we lean on the wisdom of the Most High God. You are highly exalted, everlasting Father. For every second of our lives, we count it a privilege and not a right. And Father, we are grateful for the gift of today. From the morning hours to this moment, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to work. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you in different dimensions. Almighty Father, we hallow your name. We want to say thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you for the water that we have drunk. Thank you for the air that we are using right now. Father, take all the glory. Father, take all the praise. Father, take all the honor. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for giving us power over depression. Thank you for giving us power over sickness. Thank you for giving us power over demons. Thank you for giving us power over limitation. We lift our holy hands in adoration to you. It's a blessing for us to be in the dwelling place of the Most High God. Blessed be your name forevermore. And all of God's people shout the loudest, Amen. We're going to take up our hymn, You Are My Savior, in praise and worship to the Lord. If you do have it with you, you are my Savior, you are my healer, you are my deliverer, you are my provider. I give you glory, honor, power, and majesty. That's why I shout hallelujah.
You are my Savior, you are my healer, you are my deliverer, you are my provider. I give you glory, honor, power, majesty, that's why I shout, hallelujah. You are my kingdom, you are my brother, you are my redeemer, you are my
glory, honor, power, majesty. That's why I shout, hallelujah.
can watch me enjoy.
I give you Lord the honor, power, majesty. That's why I shout hallelujah.
You are anointed to overflow me, and goodness and mercy forever. I give you
glory, honor, power, majesty.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
I give you
glory, honor, power, majesty.
That's why I shout hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please be seated. Welcome to church. I decree and declare over your life that the songs of praise will never cease in your mouth. Every day of your life, the Lord will make you productive. The Lord will make you to reach your goal. I decree and declare that every altar that is raised against you, that altar is silenced in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that the years ahead of you will be brighter years for you. I shared with us something on the pillars that makes us successful in life and in leadership. You apply the principles in life, the Bible says, and God will give you a shepherd after his heart that will feed you with knowledge. One of the greatest things that you need in life is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. Knowledge is the key to stability. Knowledge is the key to progress. Knowledge is the key to success. When you have an understanding of some truths, it sets you apart. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. But what you don't know will continue to oppress you. What you don't know will continue to limit you. And I said with us that the first pillar is for you to clothe yourself in humility. Then the second pillar is for you to make sure that you make sure that your calling and election is mature. Understand the purpose for your work. And then number three, be constant in thanksgiving. Every day of your life, give thanks to God for every opportunity that God has given to you. Then number four, be constant at work. Constancy talks about faithfulness. In everything that you do, have you seen a man that is faithful in his work? He will stand before kings and not before mean men. Have you seen a man that is diligent in what is committed into his hands, that man will surely be great. And we have seen that it is required of the steward. We are all stewards. We are all workers in the hands of God. It is required of the steward to be faithful. And then we see number five, cultivate your field. Nobody is going to do it for you. Nobody is going to cultivate your own land for you. This life that you see is a field that is meant for every one of us, and the field is open. The ones who cultivate their land, they would enjoy the rain of heaven. The Bible says there was no rain, and waters did not come upon the earth until man began to cultivate the land. The Bible says, and the springs of the waters break forth. But when man did not cultivate the land, there was no water. There was no rain. When you begin to cultivate your land, then your land will begin to draw the rain and the blessings that you need in life. Today I'm sharing with us the pillar number 6. Pillar number 6. And that is uncommon commitment. Whatever we're talking about, it takes commitment. A change is brought about because ordinary people do extraordinary things. The Bible says to us that Elijah was a man of like passion, so that you don't think that some of these people are spirits. They are human beings like you. They have brain like you. They came out of an environment like you. Some of them never even had a father and a mother. Some of them never went to school, but yet they were able to change the story of their lives. Some of them came out of a very difficult situation. Some of them were rejected by their own family. They had no family support. But they were able to change the world around them. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things are people that change the world. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God. The people who designed and invented what we're using today, whether it is the computer, whether it is the laptop, whether it is the iPad, or it is the telephone that you have, it is ordinary men that committed themselves to do extraordinary things to change their world. And God Almighty demands, let your heart therefore be perfect, or be committed with the Lord our God. That word perfect is talking about commitment. To work in his statutes and to keep his commandment as of this day. What is therefore commitment? Commitment is defined as a willingness to give your time and give your energy to something that you believe in. Give your time, give your talent, give your energy to something that you believe in. A promise you believe in, or the promise you make, you commit your time, your talent, and your treasure to it. A firm decision that you make to do something. Something amazing, something unusual. That is commitment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What is that talking about? It's talking about a man that is committed to a cause. A man that is committed to his work. I am not ashamed of what I'm doing. I am committed to it. I don't know about any other person, but I know about myself, and I am persuaded that the promise I have taken to serve him, that I know and I know and I know beyond knowing, no matter the situation, that he's well able to keep that which I commit into his hands. Commitment is absolute. Believe in something. You put in your time. You put in your energy. Without commitment, you will easily give in. That's why you're seeing people committing suicide. People killing themselves or killing their spouses or killing their husbands or killing their wives or their children. Because they are not committed to that marital vow. People break their relationship. Oh, because I didn't have a child with my wife, then that will make me to begin to think about divorce. But if I am committed to that relationship, I am not going to divorce my wife because she did not conceive a child for me. There are several ways I can have children. Commitment to the promise. What keeps successful people going in life in the midst of the challenges? I tell you the truth. Every great person you see that is great has gone through several challenges in life. And severally they have fallen along the way, but they refuse to stay there. Trials will come to push them down. They will rise up and shake the doors and keep moving.
What is keeping them to their course? What is keeping them along the journey of their life? It's commitment to their cause. Some of them, they didn't know anything about business. They didn't know anything about what they're doing today, but they were committed to know, and they have known it, and today they are gurus and masters. So you have no excuse to say, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it is done. Don't look for the easy way. Nothing comes easy. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Do you know that even to get a wife is not easy? To get a woman is easy, but to get a wife is not easy. To get a man with trousers and shirt is easy, but it's not easy to get a husband. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. To this end, I strenuously. Please underline the word strenuous. Those of you who studied English, you know what it means to be to strain. Another translation, the King James Version says, striving. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully wants in me. Another translation said, I also labor, striving according to his working. It is not easy to keep your faith. It is not easy to remain a child of God. It is not easy for you to constantly read your Bible. It takes commitment. God places his power upon your life, but it takes you to work it out. That's why you are having a lazy generation that call their messages what you call the hyper grace preachers. They preach the crown without the cross. Tell you about getting the crown, but they don't tell you about the pain of carrying the cross. So what is commitment? Commitment is an act. Commitment is an action. It's not just words. You have a lot of people that can tell you so much. Well, if you're listening to some people blow grammar, tell you what they can do and what they can do, what they can offer and all of that, wow, you will think, my God, my problem is over. I've gotten the best candidate. I've gotten the best person in this job. But you realize that the words and action, they are two different things. It's just like so many students that went to school and they had all the theories, but they never had the practical. That's one of the things you're saying, that Nigeria is where it is today. You see people come out of university and they say, you know what, I studied mechanical engineering and they can mechanize nothing. Somebody says, I studied electrical electronics and he cannot solve a simple electronics. He cannot handle it. Somebody said, I am an agronomist. Agronomist in language, but give him just a little farm, he cannot do it. Just theories. But that is not what our institutions are meant to be. I know of a state in America called California. California does not have oil. California does not have mineral resources under its soil. One of the things that California has is just the University of California. Out of that university, today you have the Microsoft. You have all the things that are ruling the world from the ideas of students. Commitment is an act that brings you closer to your dream. Commitment is an action that gets you closer to your dream. You will always have two choices in the journey of life. Two choices. Your commitment versus your fear. Your commitment versus your fear. Your fear will tell you that's a problem. You can't solve it. But commitment will tell you that's an opportunity to rise. That's an opportunity to learn. Fear will tell you others have tried it and they failed. Commitment will tell you if others tried it and failed, I will try it and succeed. That's why you hear Paul said, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Others like Demas, they saw challenges and they ran away. Others like Alexandra. But for me, I have fought a good fight. You know, your fear is your greatest enemy. Your fear will keep you at one spot. Your fear will tell you better save what you just have and sit on it. But commitment will tell you invest your time, invest your energy to move forward. Fear keeps you in one spot. Commitment moves you to greater height. Commitment makes you to start the journey so that you can move forward. That's why you realize that people that are committed to the cause, they take risks. Faith is risks. Believing God on something you don't know. God said, rise up and move forward. To where? No answer, but you're taking your steps. God said, take your car. You just bought a brand new car. And the Lord just whispered to your heart and said, take this car, go and sell it and drop the money on the altar. You didn't see God. But you had a voice in your heart and you believe it's God. And you take the risk to go and sell. That's faith. But fear tells you, if I sell this car, how will I get it again? Fear tells you, if I give this tithe, how will I survive the next month? Fear is a snare. Fear keeps you from growing. That's why you see the child that has fear in him. You discover that when he's supposed to be walking, he'll be afraid not to work because of fear. Most people fail in life, not because of a lack of desire. When you find out from everybody has a desire to be great. Just look at a little child walking beside his mother. The child will say to the mother, Mama, when I grow old, I'm going to buy you a better house than this. That's a great desire. Mama, when I grow old, I'm going to buy you a car. That's a great desire. Oh, I'm going to be a medical doctor. That's a great desire. I'm going to be an engineer. That's a great desire. The mother is excited everywhere she goes. What does the child want to do? He wants to become an engineer. What does your daughter want to become? She wants to become a medical doctor. Oh, one day I'm going to be the president of Nigeria. That's a great desire. But friends, a lot of people fail, not because they have no desire, but because of a lack of commitment to their desire. Somebody wants to become a president. Somebody wants to become a successful man, but yet is not committed in his work. Committed in developing himself or herself. It's great to be able to have a desire to have a husband and a wife, but it takes commitment for you to be able to build a good home. It takes commitment for you to be able to keep yourself healthy. You see a lot of women trying to go and reduce their body size because they are not too sure of themselves. And then they go to the place where they commit themselves into so much. They want to have a good body, but they are not committed to go and do exercise. It's a great desire for you to shed down. But it takes a lot of pain for you to do exercise and strain the body. Matthew chapter 13 verse 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 13 verse 18 to 23. You see, Jesus gave a parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Go on. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Now you see they have a desire, but they are not committed to understanding the word. They are not committed in getting themselves to walk on what they hear. So Jesus said, when anyone heareth the word, because in the first stage they have a desire to hear the word of the kingdom. But then they have no understanding. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in their heart. That's why as I'm speaking to every one of us here, you'll be so surprised to see that there are some people there that are looking at their phone and chatting with somebody else. Right now, they left home. They came here and they are sitting down here, but instead of concentrating and be thinking, what next will I do? They are doing a different stuff. So the enemy came. The enemy will always come around. And he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received the word by the wayside. And then go further, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. So they have a desire to know God. They have a desire to be in fellowship. That's why they could spend their time to come into the presence of God to hear the teaching of the word. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth. So it's not the problem of hearing. You can hear about success. You can hear about money. You can hear about businesses. But you can still remain a failure. It's the choice that people make because they are not committed to applying what they hear. But he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 21. Yet had he no root in himself. What does it take to get yourself well rooted? It is by daily doing what the word of God says. You're applying it. You apply the instructions you receive. You apply the directions that you receive. You keep exercising yourself. That's how you stretch your roots. But he had no root in himself. So endure it for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, and by and by he is offended because he's not committed. People that are committed to a work, they don't get offended. They are grateful. They celebrate every moment you are chiseling them. They are happy because they know you're pruning them to get better. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. You see them? Three class of people. And the care of this world, they are not persuaded in what they believe in. They can't stay through. They are not firm in their conviction. So the cares of this world come around, and the deceitfulness of riches, and choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Not committed to the part of kingdom principle. But now look at it, verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. That's one. And understanded it. Understanding is an application of what you hear. He applies the word. So look at what happened. He hears the word like every other person. So let me say something to all of you here and those of you that are watching around the world. Let me just say this to you. I'm not cursing anyone, but it will be so surprising to you that only 1% of the people that are here will end up doing the things that they hear. 1%. Here you find three categories of people. They all heard the same thing, but none of their lives reflected what they heard. Only 1%. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. He has tilled his ground. He has worked on himself and bringeth forth fruits. Some 100-fold, some 30, some 60. Verse 24. And Jesus went further to give another parable, and he put them saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. Everything about life you see is the type of seed that is planted in you and what you do with the seed that is planted. So what is it? You realize that from this parable, Jesus said to us, what has made a lot of people not to succeed in the midst of the storm is not that trials do not come. This person is living in the same environment like the other three. But he chose to create a different atmosphere, a different environment for the seed of God's word to flourish. You can make your life a thorny place. You can make your life a thorny place. You can make your life a rocky place. You can make your heart, your life a very hardened ground. And somebody else will break his own ground and make it soft for the word of God to break forward. Nothing just happened by accident. I've never seen, apart from the birth of Jesus Christ, even the birth of Jesus Christ didn't happen by accident. There was a pre-plan. The Spirit of the Lord came over her. And the Bible says she conceived a child of the Holy Ghost. Nothing ever happens by accident. So the same thing with productivity and progress in life. For you to be productive in this life and for you to be progressive in this life, it doesn't come by accident. It is always the result of commitment to excellence. You are committed to a cause. You do whatever you do with excellence. You're a singer. Think about what you do. While it is 2 minutes you're given. Don't just come on the stage here and just be wasting time and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just wave our hands and you don't know what to sing. You prepare yourself with excellence. You come around here to lead prayer. Do it with excellence. The Bible says that the preacher should prepare himself in season and out of season. You are a servant, you are a manager, you are a driver, you are a security personnel. Go for excellence. What is it that distinguished Daniel from other men? The Bible says he had in him the spirit of excellence. Intelligent planning and a focused effort. He's a man of intelligence. He's a man that is of planning. Jesus Christ told us himself. Would a man build a house and not sit down and plan intelligently? Dummies don't go to anywhere. It is intelligent people who make themselves that succeed in life. That does not mean they were not dummies. Some of them didn't know anything. But they put their mind to learning and improving on themselves. You are just the same person. What you have always been, you don't improve on yourself, you don't improve on your speech, you don't improve on your outlook, you don't improve on the way you do things, and you want to see God's blessing? Can I tell us the truth, the reason why fraudsters, you call them, people that are using all kinds of schemes to defraud Nigerians, because you have too many lazy people. They want the cheap way, not the hard way. God spoke to me about a product that took me over 8 months to study that product. It was painful studying it. I had to study the chemical composition. I had to study the mechanical setup of the system. I had to study the global acceptance. I had to look at the law back in that system. It takes work and intelligence. When God gives you an opportunity to come around something, it's for you.